So you think you want to open a restaurant, huh? Well, you've come to the right place. Welcome to The Business of Eating. I'm restaurant and food columnist Bob Yesbeck. I want to give you a behind-the-scenes peek at what it takes to open and operate a successful restaurant. In fact, a lot of what we're going to talk about today applies to opening pretty much any business. But today we're going to focus on restaurants, and even better, we're going to focus on breweries. Because if there's one thing that the both of them need is plumbing, and good plumbing that doesn't blow up in the middle of the night. And of course, it has to be really, really pretty too. And the guy we have here to talk to you about that is none other than Harry Caswell. Is it Caswell Plumbing?
Yes, it's Caswell Plumbing.
Caswell Plumbing, you think that. Well, welcome, sir. I'm so glad you came out here on a Saturday afternoon. I dragged you out here just to talk to us. I really appreciate you being on the show.
Well, thank you.
I told you before we went on the air that you're a bit of a household name. Cape Gazette readers are very familiar with you, probably more familiar than they might want to be.
Yeah.
But I love it. I think it's, I love your
sense of humor.
The
number you have dialed is not in service.
What's all we need now?
Please
never
check
hurt.
The number,
you know,
let me and tell try
you about
again.
It. Tell me about you and your company. Are you a Delaware guy or what?
No, I moved here in the 80s. My wife and I started the business in 1987, so it's about 30 years we've been in business.
30 years.
30 years, yeah. And,
wow.
And we started out just me and a helper, and now we employ usually around 70 guys run the whole show.
You have 70 people on the street.
Yes, sir.
Wow, man. You're definitely up there in terms of the bigger places.
Yeah,
well, we do
a lot of different things. We do not only commercial, residential plumbing. We
the number
do
you have
gas,
dialed is not
which
in
is
service.
Oxygen,
please
vacuum,
check the
and,
number and try
so
again.
We do a lot of veterinarians, doctor's offices, dentist offices. We do work at BB Hospital, moving their oxygen
say,
lines.
ORs?
So,
I mean,
yeah,
having tons of piping and stuff, right?
It's a special school that you got to go to be able to do medical gas because, you know, just having everything cleansed,
yeah,
installed right so you don't get cross connections and things like that. But also we do a lot of utility work, underground manholes, fire hydrants, water mains, fire mains, sewer mains. So we got a lot of different areas, a lot of different divisions.
That's amazing. Well, when I had my restaurant, I was a little bit taken aback by some of the requirements. A lot of them are required by HACCP. I'm sure you're familiar with HACCP.
Yeah. The number you have dialed is not in service.
Please check the number and try again.
Right.
That way, in case something backs up, it doesn't go up into the sinks, yeah, which would be ugly.
Yeah, we call it an air gap. It's an indirect waste, so it's not
called
direct.
An air gap.
Yeah.
Okay.
You want an air gap there so anything can't back up and get into your food, your prep sinks.
Yeah. So at the worst, it gets on the floor, which is nasty, but not as nasty as getting into your sink.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're totally departing from what I wanted to do, but now you've got me on a thing here. What are some of the other unusual things that have to happen in a restaurant, plumbing wise or water wise or gas wise, that wouldn't necessarily be something that would happen in my home? What do you have to know specially?
Well, what we usually do is we run two lines in the drains coming out of a restaurant. We have a grease line and a sanitary line.
Grease traps. I forgot about the grease traps.
There's a grease line that the grease line attaches to your food prep sinks because there's fats and stuff in there when you're doing that. Your three compartment sink where you're washing your dishes, and anything that has to do with any kind of grease.
Okay.
City of Rehoboth requires mop sinks and floor drains and also three compartment sinks behind a bar because bars have cream drinks which there's fat in them. So
now, how does the system know what's fat and what's just regular wastewater?
We determine that through the Board of Health on what needs to be tied into grease, what needs to be tied into sanitary.
Okay, so if I just pour a cream drink down the sink behind the bar and it goes down there, let's pretend like we're watching it. How does it know which is which?
There's a complete separate line that runs right to a grease trap.
Okay, and that goes down in the grease trap, which is always lots and lots of fun to clean out.
Well, that's why I like to put the grease traps outside.
So it's
the
easier.
Ones you can get them to go inside, but then you got to drag them truck hoses and everything inside your restaurant, and that to be cleaned more often. 1,000 gallon grease trap, which is almost the same cost, can go outside, and that driver never has to come inside to pump that tank.
So it can happen during lunch or dinner or something when normally you chase them out with a stick.
Plus, you can do it once a year instead of once a month.
What size see, we're off on a tangent, Harry, yeah. You know, but I'm fascinated by this stuff because mm-hmm. I nagged everybody when I had my restaurants. I followed the plumbers, I followed the electricians, and actually a lot of them filed a restraining order on me to keep away from them when they were working.
Well, you don't want a lot of maintenance costs, so you want to keep all that down.
What size restaurant would fill up a 1,000-gallon grease trap? Something huge or something, or it depends on...
Yeah, one time I had we had a little ice cream shop on Long Neck Road, and I put a 500-gallon grease trap outside.
Mm-hmm. And how often did that fill
up?
Once a year.
It stays full all the time. It'll fill up in a couple weeks.
Oh, okay.
But it holds a lot more grease than one that would be in the floor inside the building.
All right. And then people come and they pump, and there's companies that pump it out.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
Where are you located?
On Long Neck Road.
You're on Long Neck Road.
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
I heard from, actually a little bird told me, who happens to work here at Delaware 105.9, that you guys are responsible for the rather complex plumbing and piping involved in several of our more high visibility breweries.
Yes, sir.
Here in the area. You know, Coastal Delaware is known for its breweries, goodness knows.
Oh, yes, it is.
And so why don't you tell me which ones. I mentioned to you the photo I put on RehobothFooey.com of Dogfish Head, and you said you were in there.
Yeah, we do a lot of work in Dogfish Head on occasion, and we also did a Crooked Hammock, Big Oyster, Fins. I can't think of any.
So,
and then the downtown brewery down there for Dogfish Head, we just finished that restaurant down there also.
With all the new construction
yes.
and everything, yeah. Now, when you do a restaurant, a lot of people who listen to this show, this isn't the Sip and Bite show later on where we'd be talking to, you know, about recipes and chefs and things like that. But how much does someone, let's say someone's opening a moderately sized restaurant, maybe not as big as, you know, Blue Coast Rehoboth, but maybe not as small as Modern Mixture, somewhere in between. What would they look at roughly in terms of their mechanicals for the plumbing paying to do something for standard restaurant installation?
Yeah, the plumbing in a restaurant, in a standard restaurant, usually runs $10,000 to $15,000.
Okay,
that does not include the fixtures.
Yeah, okay.
Normally the restaurant owner will hook up with a commercial place like Singer or whatever, and they'll buy all their stainless steel and their dishwashers through them.
Okay, and then what happens first? Do you run the pipe or do they buy the equipment?
We run the pipe first. We do all the rough ins, all the underground, then they build the building. The first place you got to start is with a floor plan. They got to go to the Board of Health.
And if it's existing, you may have to tear up the floor.
Yeah. You may have to move fixtures around, because once you show them their layout and their cook line and where you're going to put that, where you're going to put your mop sink, they don't want the mop sink next to the three-compartment sink.
No.
You don't want your dishwasher next to your cook line. So the Board of Health will tweak that and all, and then they'll size the grease trap to give you a minimum size that you got to use.
Okay, and you can always go bigger if you want.
Always go bigger.
And you can always put it outside if you want.
That's the best place to go with.
Yeah, now what happens when there's prolonged freezing weather?
Never hurts. We're still down below freezing. The line's coming into the tank.
Oh,
it goes underground.
Oh, it's underground.
Yes, sir.
I did not know that. All right.
Underground, you can drive on it.
You can drive right on top of it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I was involved hanging out at when they put the new Touch of Italy down into the Holiday Inn down in Ocean City.
Right.
And I remember going in and saying, oh, why did you bulldoze that beautiful, concrete floor you had? Well, they had to run all kinds of lines.
Yep.
Because the restaurant that had been in there before didn't have an external bar. They didn't have the pizza bar and everything. And they actually jackhammered out the floor.
Yes.
And put lines. And, of course, there's also the CO2 lines that go to the bars for the, for the soft drinks and the beer and all that stuff. Do you guys do all that too?
We do all that stuff. We run sleeves for the soda guy, because they go underground now, so we usually run a 6-inch sleeve for them. But, also, when you're working inside of a building, you can't just go in there and start jackhammering using saws because of the dust.
Yeah.
So you have to use, and you can't use anything with, diesel or any kind of gas engines inside the building. So all that's got to be done with either air-powered equipment or electric equipment.
With the compressors and or the generators
and
or whatever outside.
Home. Yes. Yep. So yeah. You got to be careful with dust nowadays. OSHA's a big thing.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's so interesting what you do, and of course restaurants depend on it. I do want to focus in the next section of the show on talking about the breweries,
right?
Because I mean, I get fascinated when I go in there, and of course I'm seeing things probably a lot of people aren't, like how beautifully the pipes can be laid. I had a guy come in and redid some plumbing at my house, and he must have been on medication for this or something, because there was 8 or 10 pipes that had to run, and he had them perfectly symmetrical.
I'm the same way. Even if it gets drywalled over, I want it straight and perfect. I've gone on the jobs and make them take it out and change it.
Well, then that's exactly right. And he said, so what do you think of that?
Yeah.
And I said, it's beautiful. And he got so mad because the heating guys came in later and they ran a it's the effluent that comes out of the furnace.
Right.
And they ran it crooked across his pipes. Well, he was about ready to show up there and kill him. Yeah, he was so mad.
I'm really particular about my plumbing, too. That's why I like to get around to the job sites and see what's going on, especially if it's exposed. Yeah. You know, it needs to look mechanical.
It needs to look what a perfect word. And I love that. I was in the professional recording field for a long time, and I'm the guy that would actually arrange the microphone cables in the studio so they were at least relatively parallel.
Well, you should come get a job then with us.
That's exactly right. I'll be over. I can line those pipes up. Ladies and gentlemen, the delightful and wonderfully humorous Harry Caswell is with us today from Caswell Plumbing. We're talking about all those pipes that you see when you go to Crooked Hammock or when you go to a Big Oyster Brewery. Where in the heck do they go? Where do they come from? What in the world is happening? And this is the guy that knows it. You are listening to The Business of Eating. I am Bob Yesbeck, the Cape Gazette columnist that writes the same name column in the Cape Gazette every Friday, somewhere around page 37-ish or so. I'm in there. And this is the audio version of that. So stay with us. You're going to learn a whole lot about how breweries work and what happens. You are listening to Delaware 105.9. And again, this is The Business of Eating. Welcome back to The Business of Eating. I'm Bob Yesbeck. A Cape Gazette columnist, Bob Yesbeck, with the same column called The Business of Eating of All Things. I do want to tell you, before we get back to Mr. Harry Caswell, plumber of note and knower of all things restaurant. That's all on your business card, right? The whole thing, all in capital letters, right? Right. I thought you'd like it. I do want to tell you that The Business of Eating is brought to you every Saturday at noon through the kindness and the generosity of Backyard Works, specialists in creating beautiful outdoor living spaces, and, of course, none other than Haley Camera Restaurant Consultants. Actually, we've had them on the show. And if you do want to open a restaurant, and goodness knows, do you really want to do that after listening to all this? You can go to these people, and they can surely help you do that. Also, you do not want to leave home without Rehoboth in your pocket. You know that. The Rehoboth In My Pocket travel app is a lot more than just food, featuring pretty much every activity you can think of, including portable access to restaurant news and reviews at... They don't give me a trumpet section. I have to do my own trumpet fanfares. RehobothFoodie.com. Rehoboth In My Pocket is available for iPhone, iPad, and, of course, Android devices. We are back with Harry Caswell. Harry, we had a whole plan laid out for this section, and then you told me that right now you're working on a hospital project.
Yeah, Sun Behavioral in Georgetown.
Sun Behavioral in Georgetown. Tell me, now I know that there are issues in hospitals sometimes with making sure that plumbing and metal fixtures stay away from electric.
Yes.
Do you have
yes.
to do anything special to do that, any sort of grounding?
There's nothing special there. They don't want any receptacles within 36 inches of a sink. So
okay.
That's all, you know, that's pre-planned.
That's so somebody, hopefully they won't have a wire as long as that. They can't plug something in and drop the hairdryer in the sink or
you
some exciting thing like that.
Right. Sun Behavioral is really nice. It's a state-of-the-art kitchen in there because they're going to be cooking for all the patients, all the employees there. So we're just getting roughed in now. It should be finished up in the next 6 months, I guess.
Tell our listeners what it is to rough something in. I mean, I know what it means because I've been into building things. The goodness knows you do it every day. When people say, I'm doing the roughing in, what does that mean?
All the pipes that go in the walls, under the floors, through the roof, got vents on everything. So we've been there for about a year now. So
So everything you can't see is roughed in.
Everything's roughed in and ready now to go. And we call it trimming out. We'll go in and set all the fixtures, all that grease traps in, the water mains into the building. Water heaters are installed. And that takes a lot of hot water in a hospital like that.
Oh, I'll bet it does. Yeah. What size hot water tank do they have?
They have, I believe, four 100-gallon, 199,000 BTU heaters in there.
Wow.
So yeah, it's a lot of hot water, and it's got a circulator on it that circulates it. Now let me tell you, the kitchens get two types of hot water. They get 110 degree water for hand washes and 140 degree water for the three compartment sink. So they got two temperatures of water that come into all kitchens.
Okay, so this brings it a little bit closer to be able to maybe not sanitize, but right, at least better clean.
Dishwashers have to be 140 and three compartment sinks 140, and all the hand washes are and in the rooms too. 110 degrees.
110 degrees. So if someone turns on just the hot, it'll be really hot, but you won't get scalded. Right. You'll be uncomfortable.
But all restaurants are that way.
All restaurants are like
dual temp. Yeah.
That is it. I did not know that. Yeah. I thought they just kind of went back after the inspector left and adjusted it wherever they wanted to.
Right. And the dishwashers, you can get a low temp dishwasher that works at 120 degrees. Neither the hot dishwasher with a booster or the low temp dishwasher can go through a grease trap because the chemicals will break the grease down, and also the hot water will loosen the grease up and turn it back to a liquid.
Okay, and that's not what you want.
No, they don't want that hot. They don't want the dishwashers tied into the grease trap.
I hear about certain restaurants that sell some of their fry grease to people who refine it and either use it for fuel or use it for who knows what.
Yeah.
Do you all deal with people who do that?
I mean, everybody has to have a place to throw their shortening or whatever they call it, deep frying. And there's a company called Dover Products, and there's a couple other places, Safety Clean. They come and they pump that out.
And what do they do with it?
They do something with it. I don't know. I don't know exactly the process, but they do something with it.
Because I know that there are some cars that actually run. They always make a joke and say, if you're riding behind someone who smells a little bit like French fries.
I heard that too.
In my case, I would prefer fried chicken. If you want to know that, you're going to have the French fries. You know?
Yeah, you got it.
Unless, of course, it's Five Guys or McDonald's, and then you got to have them.
Right.
You know? What an interesting thing you do. It was another thing you brought up that, again, threw us totally off of my subject, but I love your ideas. People don't realize that a food truck has to be an approved, licensed kitchen.
Just like the Board of Health's got to, inspect that too. And they need a grease trap.
And a truck needs a grease trap, which it carries on board.
Right.
How much grease does that carry? It's probably not 100 gallons.
No, it's a 50-pound capacity, 20 gallon a minute.
Okay, 20 gallons a minute.
That's their minimal that they're allowed to use on those trucks now. We have one that has his own grease trap. He's got a holding tank underneath, and then he's got a grease trap on his property that he can dump through when he gets back at night.
So he can go out every day, at least in the truck it's empty, and then he gets the other one emptied regularly, whatever.
Yeah. A couple of years ago, you'd see him pull over top of a storm drain and empty their holding tanks. You can't do that.
You can't do that. At least not during the day when people can see.
That's not something you can do. And I've seen that happen.
Really, you have?
I've seen them dumping pour it over top of a storm drain and dump.
Ooh, all that grease and nastiness goes in there. Yuck.
It's not good. It's going right to the ocean.
Yeah.
Eventually.
So let me ask you something. What are some of the unusual things that you have to deal with when you're plumbing a truck? Because you still have to have all the hand-washing sinks. You have to have, they probably wouldn't have dishes to deal with that, but they still have pots
still
and
pans.
Still
have to have a food prep. You still have to have a hand wash. Still have to have a three-compartment sink.
And all of that stuff is, and do they have the same requirements as you normally have in a restaurant?
Same air gap. So if your tank underneath fills up, it doesn't get up into your sink and contaminate your dishwater or your food prep. You don't want your have food in that sink and then you have a backup and you don't.
No. You don't want backup and sink don't go together in restaurants.
They're
you don't
just
want to
like
say
a
those. Ladies and gentlemen, Harry Caswell. If he knew any more, he'd be on fire. This guy knows stuff. We will be back momentarily. You're listening to him. He's laughing at me. I'm sorry, Harry. I'm having fun with you. We'll be back momentarily. This is Delaware 105.9. Yeah. Harry, we have talked about food trucks. We've talked about hospitals. You guys are busy people.
Yes.
And you do so many important things. But I think one of the places where the work you do is most obvious is breweries.
Yes.
Especially these breweries. You know, it's the big deal now where, you know, all the breweries are encased in glass. Crooked Hammock, of course, does that. Actually, they just added more stuff, didn't they?
Yeah.
I think they doubled their, well, they went to 14 barrels, or is it more now?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure what they changed there. We just did some piping, but I'll tell you one, and the real state of the art, and they have a window too, is the new Oyster.
Big Oyster.
Big Oyster, yeah.
Now, this is the new one out on Kings Highway.
Yes, you can see inside there also, and it's really sharp. I mean, the plumbing is nice and straight.
It's beautiful.
My son piped that all up in there, and it's really nice, yes.
Let me tell you, I am, and as I said before, I was in, it was a technical business beforehand that had lots of conduits and wires and things, and yeah. I'm obsessive about them all being in order.
Yeah, me too.
Tell me about, let's talk about Crooked Hammock, because they're delightful people. I know that they are sponsors of the Sip and Bite Show, and we love them for
Josh
that.
Josh is a great guy.
Wonderful, wonderful people out there. Yeah. And it is a beautiful installation. I mean, yeah. You walk up, and some people just walk by, you know, it's a bunch of metal to them.
There's a lot to it.
But those people are Philistines. They don't know what they're talking about. But to go in and see how beautiful, somebody thought about that and measured and cut to length. Tell me about all that piping, where it goes, what it does, and how it results in a big, cold, foamy brew on your table.
I'm not a brewmaster, but I know you have to start somewhere. First of all, Big Oyster, they have a boiler. The boiler has a supply and a return line that goes in there, and that heats the hops, I guess. They cook that.
Well, actually, that's what they call the mash tun, I think, and that's what they put the grain in.
Right.
And they boil that, and that's what actually creates, and then what's left over is the mash, and they apparently feed it to the happiest pigs in Delaware.
They love it.
Oh, they
apparently
love it.
Yeah. And then you have your glycol lines, too. You have to chill it. So there's coils, and there's a chiller outside. Or on the roof, however they decide to put it, but then that's got glycol in it that runs coils through them tanks that chills that beer.
So glycol being like antifreeze.
Yes.
And so you can cool it down and it doesn't freeze in the pipes.
Exactly. That's what they do. They get that down to a real low temperature through a refrigeration system that's outside called a chiller.
Now, how does that differ from the refrigerator in your house?
This is it's got liquid in it.
Oh, it's got liquid.
It's got liquid and it's got pumps that pump it through these tanks.
Okay, and they so once the hot, and I forget what it is. Oh God, these brewer guys are listening to us right now, thinking, what is wrong with those two?
They know their thing though.
But the liquid that moves from the hot liquid that moves from the mash tun into the next tank, that has to be cooled down.
And these lines got to be sterile and clean. Yeah, so.
So, but of course, the glycol doesn't come in contact with the product.
Doesn't come in contact with the product. Now, the new bottling spot over we did over at Dogfish, they had a chemical that they were using, to clean the bottles, and it was going into the lift station outside. Well, it ate everything in that lift station.
Really?
And it was only like a couple months old.
Yeah.
We were wondering, the ladder got eaten off. They went down into the tank. I mean,
so this chemical is caustic, and
caustic,
somehow it
yes.
was leaking out into that area.
Well, no. They were dumping it, but they didn't realize. I don't think that it was going to eat all that. I mean, it just disintegrated it.
And the ladder disappeared.
Yeah, the bottom of the ladder.
Amazing, amazing.
Bolts and everything that were into the concrete, they were gone.
So, needless to say, this process has been stopped. It had to be done in stainless because you can't dissolve that.
Right. So amazing. That's what they needed to do, and they got that problem solved and fixed. But if you ever get a chance to go into their bottling area, it's really neat.
Oh, I'm sure it's
high
tech.
Oh, it's
I love
all
these
high
tech things.
It's all automated.
Now, do you run hydraulic lines too?
Also, we do hydraulic lines.
And there's a lot of that in bottling, isn't there?
In bottling,
the filling
there is,
and the stopping and the capping.
Plus, there's a lot of drains that come off that stuff because it's wet as it's going around in there. And, something's got to pick up all that liquid so it doesn't go on the floor. And then that goes out to the sanitary sewer. So,
how about gas? Do you run gas in there too?
Do the gas also. We do.
And what does that do?
That fires the boilers.
Oh, of course. Got to make something hot.
Yeah. It's a big process. So that ends up, there's a lot of piping. Plus, you got all your hot and cold lines. You got your sinks. You got your drains under the floor. And, all this water's got to be metered, too. So
now, these big tanks, and actually, I was around when, who was it? They were the nice people at Revelation. Mm-hmm. I happened to be hanging around there when some of their big, brand new, shiny tanks arrived.
Right.
And I thought, someone's got to plumb these darn things. And when Is there like a plan or a mechanical plan?
Absolutely.
Because you said you're not a brewmaster, so you have to know what hooks to what. Is there like a little, like,
there's,
you know,
a,
is
schematic.
It like IKEA, you know, fold tab A into tab
B? There's a whole set of drawings that show the piping, sizes of the piping, dimensions of the piping. Everything's done by an engineer.
Now, are the same requirements we talked about in the first segment, of the requirements of kitchens, do they still apply to breweries?
We do all design build on that most of the time. They'll show you where the fixtures are at, but they don't size the pipe. They don't do any of that work most of the time. It's just too costly, especially for a small restaurant. They can't afford to send out to an engineer and have that all done. So we do that in-house.
And there is standard. So you all actually can do the design build for something
absolutely.
Like that?
My brother Greg does all that in our shop.
Yeah. And this is Greg, who we hope to be on the show, but he was tied up and busy and was unable. But, you know, you've been doing a good job.
I'm doing the best I can.
You're doing a fine job. So let's go back to the brewery for a minute, because I have a picture on HobbitFoodie.com. And, of course, it won't be there by the time people hear this, because your picture will be there.
Oh, okay.
But it shows literally miles and miles and miles and miles of pipe in that big, big area that's like three stories tall. Tell me about what some of that does, connecting the tanks and the water water out.
Every one of those tanks has a supply and return hot water. Everyone's got a supply and return glycol. Then you got all your other plumbing that goes in there for your water serve or your water lines and your sinks. We just try to keep it all together so it looks mechanical. Mm-hmm. So it ends up, you might have 20 or 30 lines going into there.
Yeah.
By the time it all goes to every tank and, you know, all the stuff that's done. So it's a big process.
Oh, it was amazing. When I went in there, I was so taken aback by, and I'm going to use the word beautiful. Because, and you said that it looks mechanical, but there is a beauty to that. I mean, people like looking at pretty cars. That's no different.
It's a
big
deal for
me. Cars don't have to look that way in order to run, but they do.
Right.
And when I go into these breweries and I see this plumbing, and I stand back and I think, you know, somebody took pride in this. And that was most probably you. And the one at Dogfish Head is amazing.
Yeah, Dogfish is nice.
Actually, I was calling it the engineering deck of the Enterprise for a while. Because they probably have pipes, too.
A lot of the stuff that he does there, there's guys there from Germany and stuff putting the big tanks that are outside. That's all done from someone out of the country.
Really?
Where they buy those big tanks.
Those huge tanks. Yeah.
They're bought through, I was told Germany, and those guys come over here and actually install that.
And they install all that, but you still have to plumb it,
don't
you?
Still got plumbed up on the inside. Also, even the bottling system, that was all, you know, I'm sure it came from another country. It's beautiful.
So the stuff you install for these people, you have gas to heat the water.
Right.
You have hydraulics to run these machines that put the caps on the bottles and all that sort of thing. You have the pipes of the actual product going in and coming out. Plus, there have to be pipes because they overflow, and I'm sure stuff splashes all over the place.
Got to have trench drains in there that these places have to be washed down.
Oh, absolutely. What's a trench drain?
It's a trench drain. It's a long drain in the center of the building.
Oh,
we
okay.
usually run it down the center of all of the tanks.
Are the floors
and
angled?
And the floors are sloped, yes.
The floors are sloped. Kind of like the floor of your shower.
Right. They're sloped to this drain. This is a real long drain, some 20, 30 foot long. And that can all be washed down. They keep these places really clean.
Do you do that in big restaurant kitchens, too?
Yes, we do.
You do?
Especially in front of the ice machine, because it gets very wet there.
Oh, it's going to be soaked all the time.
We usually do a trench drain there, too.
Yes, and, so that way it stays relatively dry.
Get it cleaned up, yeah. You don't want too much of a slip, so you don't slip on it.
Now, do these drains route themselves through the grease traps?
In some areas, they do. Rehoboth requires it.
Rehoboth requires, when you say Rehoboth, you mean downtown Rehoboth.
The city of Rehoboth, the town itself requires mop sinks and floor drains to be tied in, and also the bar sinks.
Okay.
Because of fats and grease that's on the floor and in the drinks that they make. And
how is the grease and the water separated when it goes down in there?
The grease is lighter, so it floats.
Of course.
Okay.
It goes to the top.
So it sits on the top, and it just sits there until you get about a foot thick. And then that needs to be pumped off. And what will happen eventually, the water won't go down the drain anymore because it'll block the inlet.
Oh, that's a nice way to know.
And then you know then it's too late. So you want to keep it clean.
So the cleaning of the grease trap, part of it is dealing with the solids.
Yes.
That's got to be nasty.
It's nasty. That's why you don't want them dragging hoses into your restaurant and pumping that out. And not only that, it smells.
I'll bet the smell is horrific.
So the best way is an outside tank.
Yeah.
That's the best way to go.
And then the leftover water that's in there under the under the fat, does that just drain out?
Yeah, that gets when they clean them tanks, they kind of use that to backwash and clean them.
Okay.
So that's what stirs it up and makes it smell. So you know, I just don't like them in.
Oh, it is, and you can tell when they're doing it. In some restaurants that have them inside,
yeah.
I'll go in and I will think, you know what? Maybe I'll just come back later. You know, because it's almost like when they're trying to clean the hoods.
Yes.
You know.
You know what else I really don't like about this is really bugs me when I go and I service a restaurant. You walk into their walk-in, and they have food in there that's not covered. Uh-huh. Now, what's cellophane cost?
I know.
And sometimes you'll get a coleslaw or something that actually tastes like a walk-in.
Yeah, no.
But it's because they don't cover things, and they need to cover that stuff.
I used to require that in my restaurants, and actually the kitchen people got mad at me.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have time to do that.
Right.
And I bought them a big roll of that stuff. I said, just you don't even seal it. Just lay it over. And
right.
You know that HACCP has rules. Like you can't put the salads under the raw chicken. You can't put anything under raw chicken or raw meats because if it drips, it goes into the salad. And since it's not going to be cooked,
right.
Guess what? You know, there you are eating a raw chicken.
Yeah, that's terrible.
But I hate it because it ends up picking up other tastes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to talk about this in the next segment, Harry. We're going to have a movement. Ladies and gentlemen, this is The Business of Eating. I'm Bob Yesbeck from Cape Gazette, and we are having a good time with Harry Caswell from Caswell Plumbing. We will be back momentarily. This is Delaware 105.9. If you're looking for the perfect gift for the foodie in your life, look no further than the Eating Rehoboth Restaurant Tours with 5 Rehoboth restaurants and a specialty shop all in 3 hours. Eating Rehoboth gift certificates are always available for holidays, birthdays, and great hostess gifts. Treat your favorite foodie, and maybe even yourself, to the Eating Rehoboth Tour experience. Eat, sip, walk, discover, all in 3 hours. Gift certificates are available at eatingrehoboth.com. Make your smartphone even smarter with Rehoboth In My Pocket, the ultimate travel app for Delaware's Cape region. Rehoboth In My Pocket features the latest on outdoor activities like hiking, biking, sailing, surfing, and paddleboarding. Plus, fun stuff for the kids, parking, shopping, pharmacies, food delivery, golf, cooking classes, state parks, gyms, home services, festivals, online reservations, churches, special events, and links to the Rehoboth Foodies exclusive restaurant reviews and inside information on what to get and where to sit at your favorite eateries. Rehoboth In My Pocket is available from iTunes and Google Play. Vacationers never leave home without it, and locals love it too. Treat your smartphone to everything Rehoboth right there in your pocket. Welcome back to The Business of Eating. I'm Bob Yesbeck, Cape Gazette columnist. I write a column there called Business of Eating. And this is kind of like an audio version of that, except a little bit more nuts and bolts and technical and pipes and grease traps and all that sort of thing and designing. We have with us today, we're coming toward the top of the hour, but we're not there yet. We have with us today the very talented and annoyingly knowledgeable, I have to tell you. You know all these great things. I think it's so interesting. Harry Caswell from Caswell Plumbing and Heating. And they've been around here for about 700 years, right? Since before the ocean was installed, Harry.
Yeah, before topsoil.
Way before topsoil. That's funny. You're going to see that in the Gazette somewhere. I'm going to slip that in there. We got to talking about some of the things that annoy us about kitchens.
Mm-hmm.
I know one of the things that I am so sensitive to is cross-contamination. You were talking about things that are uncovered in the walk-in. Now, HACCP has very, very strict rules about how to store things. We talked about in the last segment. You don't put the raw chicken above the lettuce.
Right.
You know, in case there's a drip, that would be bad. And actually, the food inspectors would shut a restaurant down if they did that. Sorry, put a key in the door right now.
That's right.
But there are other things, too. And I think one of the things is, and I think that they try so hard to resolve this by putting hand sinks everywhere. You know, because all somebody has to do is grab the bathroom door after they've washed their hands.
Contaminated.
It's contaminated.
Yes.
You know, and what have you seen situations in restaurants where the inspectors have come in and made them add hand sinks because of the possibility?
Absolutely. I've seen when they go to planning and they go up there to the Board of Health before they get their go ahead to start the restaurant, they add hand sinks. You want to, any place you stand in that kitchen cannot be a blind spot to a hand sink.
So you have to be able to find. Yeah,
you have to be able to see a hand sink from any position in that kitchen.
And it makes a lot of sense. When I had my barbecue restaurant, we had meat smokers, two big meat smokers. And normally, when we took over the kitchen, it had been a restaurant before, there was no hand sink near there. But we put a big table in because they pull the pork, they bring out the ribs. And the first thing that our inspector said, oh no, a hand sink has to be right next to that table.
Yes.
Because
yes.
He's pulling, even though they wore gloves, they're pulling with their bare hands.
Yeah, here's another issue that I see on just about every plan we get for a restaurant. They put a floor drain in the walk-in. I always say forget the floor drain in there, because you're not going to go in there with a hose at any time and wash that place down.
Right.
And what happens is that floor drain has a trap under it that dries out. Then you get sewer gases in the walk-in,
which of course is going to make your coleslaw smell weird,
even worse than not covering it.
So
it's just I always tell them to take that floor drain out and put it outside of the walk-in.
And the floor drain is not mandated by the health department.
It's not mandated, but a lot of people want them in there because they say they're going to be able to wash down in there. They don't wash down in there.
They're not going to wash it down.
Not when there's food in there.
No, you can't have that water splashing all over, especially up off the floor.
That's right.
You know.
Floors. You know, the greasy floors are a problem.
Yeah.
They don't keep them clean.
Yeah, but the drain's not going to make a big difference of that.
No.
You just go in and mop it.
Mop it up.
Amazing.
Yep.
Breweries, hospitals, food trucks, restaurants, big restaurants, little restaurants. Yep. You guys do it all, don't you?
Prisons, hotels. We've done several hotels in our area here, Holiday Inns and Micro Hotel in Georgetown. We've done lots of hotels.
It's a lot of pipe, isn't it? A
lot of pipe.
It's a lot of
pipe.
It
takes a lot of manpower, too.
A lot of the people who listen to this show are dreaming of quite possibly having a restaurant one day.
Great.
Who would they call? What number would they dial?
They would call us. It's 302-945-5322. My brother can help them with their design, their layout. Once we get them to a point where we got a good layout, that's when it goes to the Board of Health, gets approved. And then we get a permit to start. So,
you get a permit. Do you guys pull the permit for them?
We take care of all that.
Yeah.
From beginning to end, and then we can give them an as-built drawing at the end or where we ran all the pipe.
Now, you would normally, and I had John Schneider in here, actually, one of my first guests from Broadpoint.
Yes, I know him well.
And he told me that the closer you all stay in contact with them, the more efficient it is, because he's not doing something. You said, you laid that concrete floor. I need to put pipes underneath it. And they've wasted money and time. So I'm sure you guys create what I know they call a critical path.
We usually have a meeting every week. You know,
you do.
I did Waves Car Wash with John.
And, you did, really?
And there's a lot of plumbing in a car wash.
Oh,
let me tell you,
there is stuff.
Conveyors,
hydraulics, everywhere.
There's lots of stuff in there, and that was a complicated job there.
I'll bet it was. They also do it so it looks good. You know, they have all the lights
absolutely.
That shine on the pipes, and I think that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. You might as well make it an experience.
Oh,
you know,
it's got to look good.
I know. Even the soap has colors.
That's right.
That's right. Harry Caswell, ladies and gentlemen, thank you, sir, for coming to my little show in a cornfield on Saturday afternoon at noon. And I think that you taught me a lot. I hope my listeners were loving it, too.
Hey, they can give me a call anytime, even if they have a question.
Yeah, to find out if someone owns a restaurant and maybe you can take care of an issue or at least send them to someone who can.
That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to The Business of Eating. I'm Cape Gazette columnist Bob Yesbeck, and I'm here with you every Saturday at noon with The Business of Eating. So check me out next week. Stay tuned for Sip and Bite with Rehoboth Foodie at 3 o'clock this afternoon. This is Delaware 105.9.